Good mornings, I'm Chris Oakes, and coming up today, with cough and cold season right around the corner, why is the FDA trying to remove a common and popular over-the-counter remedy from store shelves, even though they agree that it's not dangerous? We'll take a closer look at the controversy. Also this morning, just like those covered by private employer-sponsored plans, active and retired federal employees are urged to examine and maximize their health care benefits package or risk leaving money on the table. And we'll have details on upcoming programs and activities at 50 North as the holiday season approaches. Carolyn Copas will be here to tell us what's happening. This is the Good Mornings Podcast Edition for Wednesday, November 13th, 2024. This week has flown by. It's middle of the week already. It's hard to believe, but here we are. So, one of the big news stories of the day, you know, a lot of people were worried post-election about the re-election of Donald Trump to the presidency, given how chaotic the first Trump presidency was. And I think that's a genuine concern. You know, it was kind of crazy. It was, but a lot of people are pointing out that a second Donald Trump presidency is likely not going to be quite as chaotic, because the first time around, Donald Trump was kind of learning on the job how everything worked in Washington, right? How government worked. He's not been elected to any public office before, so he's kind of learning on the job, and that led to some of the chaos that we saw during the Trump years. This time around, though, he has those 4 years under his belt. He knows, he's got a better sense of how things work, how to get things done, and so on and so forth. And I think if you need proof of that, you can look no further than the big news story this morning that Vivek Ramaswamy and Elon Musk have been tapped to head up the new Department of Government Efficiency. Trump releasing a statement yesterday saying the two of them will be tasked with reducing waste and fraud within the federal bureaucracy. And I'm thinking to myself, only in America could we create an entirely new government department to generate greater government efficiency. If you think about it, that is absolute proof that Donald Trump has finally figured out how things really work in Washington. You know what? I'm going to create an entirely new government department to focus on efficiency, and we're going to put two people in charge of it. That sounds like definitely something that would be the work of the federal government. So I think that we're going to be just fine. Donald Trump is finally figuring out how this government thing works. And in the department and put two people in charge of it. What could possibly go wrong? By the way, that means that Vivek Ramaswamy will not be the new senator from Ohio. In case you didn't know this, Vivek Ramaswamy grew up in Cincinnati and founded a pharmaceutical development company and an asset management firm in Columbus after graduating from Harvard and Yale Law School. He says his appointment to this new government efficiency department means that he is withdrawing himself from consideration by Governor DeWine as he looks for someone to replace J.D. Vance in the U.S. Senate as Mr. Vance will become Vice President Vance. So the next senator from Ohio will not be Vivek Ramaswamy. So that is big news this morning. This may be the biggest story of the day, though. And you know, we like to start off with the most interesting and most buzzworthy stories of the day. This is the big news we've been waiting for. There are three new inductees into the National Toy Hall of Fame. Yes, that's right. We have the winners. Remember a few weeks ago, we were talking about the nominees, and there were some good ones this year. And the toys to be enshrined in the National Toy Hall of Fame for 2024 include My Little Pony, which I guess has been up for induction for like 7 years. So it's been a long time coming for My Little Pony. But the wait is over. It is now in the National Toy Hall of Fame. My Little Pony, the card game Phase 10, and Transformers. Those are the three. Some of the other finalists this year were the game Apples to Apples, Hess Toy Trucks, The Trampoline, Pokemon Cards, Balloons, and the Choose Your Own Adventure books. You remember those from back in the 80s and 90s? Those were the nominees that did not make the cut. So, My Little Pony, Phase 10, and Transformers. The National Toy Hall of Fame is located in Rochester, New York, seeks to recognize toys that have inspired creative play and sustained popularity over time. And apparently, Transformers have sustained greater popularity than the trampoline and balloons. I don't know how you... But anyway, the Hall of Fame has inducted 84 toys since it opened in 1998, it says here. So, new inductees in the National Toy Hall of Fame. I know everybody was sitting on the edge of your seat waiting for the official announcement. Happy to bring you that big news. This may be today's news of most lasting significance. Engineers at the University of Hawaii have made a significant medical breakthrough for future surgeries. They say they have developed what they are describing as tiny squishy robots that work together with surgeons through the body's complex network of tubes and vessels. The robots will help with minimally invasive surgeries as they are able to deliver medicine to multiple locations in the body and perform several tasks all at once remotely within your body. Little squishy robots that can make their way, they are able to adapt to the body's natural pathways. The research team, the University of Hawaii, says their research was done in collaboration between UH and other institutes and universities in Germany, Switzerland, and Turkey. So that is, wow, tiny squishy robots. If nothing else, you can put those in the National Toy Hall of Fame. Tiny squishy robots. That sounds like something that you would put in the National Toy Hall of Fame, not in your body. But apparently that is breakthrough medical news there this morning. Kind of a... By the way, speaking of medical news, I happen to see this on the Newswire. People started drinking more during the COVID-19 pandemic. That is not news. We knew that. And apparently now, we've talked many times about all of the ways that the pandemic changed life in America and in the world, the aftermath of the pandemic. We got, more people working from home or working remotely nowadays, although that is sort of waning. But, other ways in which people just kind of change their habits. And most of the ways we have gone back to our old habits post-pandemic. But there have been some impact. People started drinking more during COVID-19. And that lasted into at least 2022. A new survey saw increases in the number of stress-related drinking and alcohol-related deaths in 2020 compared to 2018. And those numbers, now it says here, failed to subside 2 years later when things started to return to normal. So, you see, more drinking. The study published Monday in the Annals of Internal Medicine. Kind of interesting. We're drinking more, and we still are drinking more. Of all of the ways that the pandemic changed our lives, I think we were all hoping that that might not be one of them that would be sustained post-pandemic, but it appears it has been. Kind of interesting. And finally this morning, lastly, among the first things that you need to know, the most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day, another holiday-related story, because we are now, 15 days away from Thanksgiving. Do you have your Thanksgiving turkey yet? Now, it is starting to see sales pop up at various grocers and retailers on the Thanksgiving centerpiece. And if you are looking to save some dough for your Turkey Day meal, and who isn't, it's not exactly breaking news that store brands will help stretch your dollar, but there is one Turkey Day staple where the big name might be cheaper. Instead of going for the generic or the store brand, look for the name brand, and it might be cheaper. The Wells Fargo Agri-Food Institute compared the prices of things like turkey and stuffing and salad and cranberries, dinner rolls, pumpkin pie, and they find that you will save $17.10 to feed 10 people if you go generic. Store brands will run you $73, which is up nearly 3% from last year, while the big names will cost $90, which is down 0.5% from last year. So kind of interesting. The store brands overall are more expensive than they were last year, but still cheaper than the name brands, which have gone down a little bit. But anyway, the item that is cheaper than the generic as a name brand, the one thing that you want to go for the name brand as opposed to the generic, cranberry, the humble cranberry. It says the big producers own most of the market share, and thus the brand name of cranberry is more budget friendly than the store brand. So big important information that you can definitely use as you plan for your Thanksgiving meal. Cranberry. I know that was a big lead up for something that wasn't. I was hoping maybe it would be the turkey or the pumpkin pie or something that everybody, you know, really, really wants. And it's the cranberry. That's where you save the most going with the name brand. You're welcome, America. Some of the most interesting and buzzworthy stories to get your Wednesday morning started.
WFIN News, I'm Matt Demchek. Your WTOL 11 weather, partly cloudy today, a high in the mid-50s. Showers move in tonight, a low in the middle 40s. A car crashed into a parked vehicle before hitting the side of a building in Findlay. The crash happened Tuesday afternoon in the 800 block of North Main Street. Police on the scene told WFIN that no one was injured in the crash. See video from the scene and this story on our website. An imprisoned former Republican Ohio lawmaker is planning to ask for a presidential pardon.
Former Ohio House Speaker Larry Householder is preparing to ask President-elect Donald Trump for clemency. That's according to his campaign attorney. Householder is currently behind bars, serving a 20-year prison sentence for his involvement in the largest bribery scandal in the state. Three news partners at Cleveland.com say Householder plans to submit the official pardon application closer to Inauguration Day.
ONN's Lena Lai reporting. Get more in this story on our website. Ohioans can expect to pay more for a live Christmas tree this year.
If you're looking to spruce up your home with a live Christmas tree, you might be wondering how much will it cost. Well, this year we went through a period of droughts, starting with a wet spring that led to a dry summer. But it's not the drought that's impacting prices. It's actually businesses' labor and staffing. Fertilizer, fuel, and transportation costs are also impacting the price of your next Christmas tree. But small business owners say the money you spend goes a long way in supporting local farms.
WTOL 11's Tim Miller reporting. Bridge Hospice Bereavement Services, a division of Blanchard Valley Health System, will hold its holiday memorial wreath-making events in Findlay and Bowling Green in November and December. BVHS says the holidays can be a difficult time of the year after experiencing the loss of a loved one, and community members attending the sessions will learn to create and display a wreath in memory of their loved ones. Bridge Bereavement Services says it'll provide the materials needed to create a live evergreen wreath for you to take home and decorate in a manner that reflects your loved one who could not be physically with you this holiday season. Get more details in this story on our website. Remember, you can always get more news online at WFIN.com.
It's So almost right on cue, we've got a really chilly morning, which portends, you know, what is to come. We're just ahead of cough and cold season, and it's kind of interesting the timing on this. The FDA is trying to remove a common and popular over-the-counter remedy from store shelves just as we are getting into cold and flu season, even though everyone agrees that it's not actually dangerous. So what's going on here? Dr. Bill Coes, Blanchard Valley Health System, is with us this morning to talk about this. The ingredient in question is, and you'll tell me if I've got this wrong, oral phenylephrine, is that right?
That's correct.
Okay. So what is the deal here? Why is the FDA, because like we said, they're not claiming that it's dangerous. So what's the problem?
Well, it's found to be ineffective by lots of trials. Now, that's a difficult thing to evaluate. So in fairness to everyone, the medication's been around for lots of years. There were tests done. The FDA needs to look at it, and it was approved some 30 years ago.
Yeah.
But we have new data now.
So if it's, why are we just now learning? If it's ineffective, why are we just now learning that it's ineffective?
Well, I think there's probably several things. First, there's no cure for a cold or for a virus. Mm-hmm. And so it's symptomatic treatment. What makes your symptoms resolve faster? Mm-hmm. And a lot of that is subjective. So we don't have a test that says, well, you're cured or you're not cured. So that would be part of it.
Okay.
Secondly, there's several different products, different ingredients and things. There's decongestants, there's antihistamines, there's anti-inflammatory, so aspirin or Tylenol or acetaminophen may be added. So you have several different medications inside of these groups.
So it's hard to isolate what this ingredient is specifically
exactly
doing or not doing.
And once the FDA approves something, unless something comes up that's a side effect or a problem, in general, it's just left on the market. They've got lots to do. They've got lots of new medications and things coming in.
Yeah.
My understanding of this is that there was a big group out of Florida that did an evaluation, and they wrote to the FDA some year or two ago and saying, we've done a lot of studies. This probably was some graduate student in pharmacology or something that looked through all of the data.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm laughing when I say that, and said,
well, they have time to do that.
Exactly. And they yeah, said that it doesn't look like it's effective. So the FDA went back and looked at all of the data, looked at a lot of trials. It's a big paper that the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, put out. I mean, they looked at lots of trials, and they concluded that it is not effective. And effective meaning doesn't make any difference whether you take it or not. Now, as you said, it is not unsafe. I guess the question is going to be how much gets taken off the market or what. There may be people that feel that it really helps.
Right. And that's what, and another thing that I thought was interesting about this is that while they are saying that it is ineffective specifically when it's taken orally, they're not necessarily saying that the ingredient, the phenylephrine, is not effective. It depends on how it's taken.
That it's taken and what the dosage is. That's a great point. So those medications, phenylephrines, the decongestants, can be used intranasally, sprayed into the nose, and found effective.
Because, I guess we should step back here and say, what is this ingredient do, or what is it supposed
to do?
Well,
it's a decongestant, so it shrinks things. So if you've got a boggy or inflamed nose, it'll make it smaller so you can you breathe better.
Yeah, freeze up your nasal passages.
Symptomatic-wise, you may feel better, right? You know, because I can breathe.
Yeah.
And it didn't cure it, but it made my symptoms better.
Yeah.
And so your point is exactly taken. As they looked at this, when it's taken in the dose that is given, it isn't effective because it's not absorbed. I read one of their studies, 1% went in. Now, you could increase the dosage. Mm-hmm. The problem is, if you increase the dosage, it may become unsafe because it can. It's a decongestant, a shrinks thing, so it could raise your blood pressure, cause your heart to skip beats, something like caffeine, that kind of thing. So the studies that they have had given to them with the dosage that was there isn't seen to be effective, and that's going to be pretty much what happened.
So could it be that, so we're talking about the oral medications, like for example, NyQuil is just one example that contains this. And they say that this is an ineffective ingredient. Could it be that because it is appears to be, according to the data, more effective as, say, a nasal spray, that we might see it over the counter in that form? Or is the approval for over the counter use strictly as an oral medication?
My it has been approved for both, but what will happen? Let's just take the generic NyQuil, whatever it would be, and let's say it has three ingredients in it. They'll just take out the one because it isn't effective and sell it as either with NyQuil A, or they will rename it but use the other two ingredients is the most likely thing. That's happened with other medications that efficacy. But it's unusual for an over-the-counter, especially that widely, for someone to go back and look at studies. Mm-hmm. Because over-the-counter medications, a lot of homeopathic things, aren't as much regulated. Not saying that they're not safe or things like that. So this is a little unusual.
But by their very nature, they're over-the-counter, so it's hard.
Plus, it's a multi-billion-dollar business. I mean,
no question.
Cold remedies are just going off the shelves all the time. People, you know, they want to feel better. They want to go to work.
So a couple of points to make. Number one, if you have these medications in your home now, nobody is saying that they are unsafe. Don't use them.
No, correct. It would be. It's more the sales have been ineffective. So they're very safe as long as they're not out of date.
And the second point is because there is a greater efficacy through another mode of delivery, you may be, for example, prescribed something of
it may be recommended. You don't need to need a once in a while you need a prescription for over the counter so your insurance will cover it. But in general,
but your doctor could still recommend this.
Absolutely.
But more than likely it would be as in the form of, like, say, a nasal spray.
Yeah, and sometimes there are side effects to it too. People get rebound effects. So I don't want to recommend nasal sprays. That would be something. But if it helps for people and they don't use it, what you have to be careful with nasal spray, sometimes you start using every 2 hours, and that's too much, and it ends up making your symptoms worse.
So something you would have to talk to your doctor about.
Talk to the doctor or follow the instructions on the on the tube.
Again, the timing on this is what is really interesting, because this is a cough and cold remedy, and we're coming up on cough and cold season. So that's what really grabbed people's attention on this.
Well, I think so. I mean, people were probably stocking up, and they went out and bought stuff in case they get a cold. Now they find out it ain't going to work.
But again, it's not dangerous.
Not dangerous. No, and no evidence. And like I said, I read their paper after you asked to talk about this, and there's no question raised about safety.
With that in mind, so what is effective? If this is not effective, what is effective?
Probably nothing if you're looking at a cold. I'm laughing when I was taught that you can treat, you can do whatever. A cold's going to be there until you get it. There is some data, and if people think vitamin C helps or zinc, if that helps, zinc probably has some degree of efficacy, but again, it's for certain people. It's worth trying. But basically, you don't want to give it to somebody else. Ventilate well, take care of yourself, get plenty of fluids, and it's okay to keep your temperature down.
And I a few years ago saw a story that said good old fashioned chicken soup that your grandma used to give you.
I think because that helps hydrate you, keeps your temperature, and I think it. Told people again, take chicken navel soup.
It can't hurt.
It can't hurt anything. That's a good way to put it.
By the way, speaking of which, again, because we are coming into this season, where are we right now with respect to these seasonal conditions?
So far, we haven't seen influenza to any significant respiratory syncytial virus. As far as I know, the kids. Now, there are a lot of people who are saying they're getting stuff and it doesn't go away. I would be concerned with what kids have been back in school. Obviously, we're in close quarters. Mm-hmm. Mycoplasmal pneumonia, walking pneumonia, bronchitis kind of things. We haven't seen a lot of other kind of things yet, but this is the season.
And again, not anything that you really want to play around with.
Right. Now, if you run a high fever, you can't breathe, especially if you got underlying lung disease or chronic problems, so you want to make sure you get checked.
All right. Dr. Bill Coase, Blanchard Valley Health System, with us this morning, breaking down this controversy over oral phenylephrine. Interesting new data coming out on that. We've got a link up for more information about it from the FDA's press statement regarding this issue. Have it linked up at our webpage, goodmornings.net. Dr. Coase, thanks very much for dropping by.
Thank you, sir.
So we've been talking about healthcare open enrollment. We've been talking about it with Medicare, Medicaid, and employer-sponsored health plans and individual health plans in the exchange. Want to focus this morning on what active and retired federal employees need to know about their health benefit plans for 2025. We are joined this morning by John Hatton, Staff Vice President, Policy and Programs at the National Active and Retired Federal Employees Association. First of all, John, why is it important that we talk about this and why it's important for enrollees to assess or reassess their healthcare plans for this year?
Well, this year, premiums are going to go up by 13.5% on average for enrollees in FEHB. For some of the popular higher option plans, that's more than $100 per month for self and family coverage. Mm. Now, of course, we tell people to look at your plans every open season, and that will remain true every single year. But if you're facing this premium increase this year, it's another added reason that you need to take a look at your plans. Just switching between one high option to another, you may be able to save $3,000 for a self and family option. If you are somewhat healthy and you can do a high deductible health plan with a health savings account, you may be saving $6,000 on premiums for a net deductible increase of $900. So a lot of money could be left on the table. Now, of course, you want to make sure you have the coverage that you need, and so we help you walk through some of those options, help you understand what the plan changes are, looking at Section 2 of your plan brochure, making sure you're looking at what coverage you need in terms of specialty drugs, in terms of providers in network and treatments that you have, and then also paying attention to the changes in the program and plans that leave the program. This year, the Postal Service Health Benefits Program is starting up. People are moving from their federal side plans into this postal side plan, and some of those individuals are going to have their plans no longer being offered, and they're going to be automatically enrolled in the lowest cost nationwide options. So they're really going to want to take a look at what they have to make sure they're making an affirmative choice that's right for them.
So it sounds like there are a lot of changes coming. As you mentioned, just the fact that premiums are changing, obviously that is a big, big deal and warrants taking a special look at this. But as you were kind of alluding to, there are some other key changes and benefits that are new or changing for the upcoming year?
Yeah, one new benefit for active federal employees is an expansion of in vitro fertilization coverage. And every plan in FEHB has some form of assistive reproductive technology coverage and the drug component of IVF. But each individual in FEHB has at least one, if not multiple, options for comprehensive IVF coverage. So if you've been trying to start a family and you're having trouble and you couldn't afford the coverage you needed to get this IVF, you should have a plan available to you. So take a look at open season for that option. The other big change I mentioned was the creation of the Postal Service Health Benefits Program. Changes in Medicare prescription drug coverage, people being opted into these Medicare prescription drug plans if eligible. On the postal side, they will unfortunately not have the ability to opt out of that. So that's a change in some coverage that may affect which plan you choose as well.
So as you mentioned, you at the National Active and Retired Federal Employees Association can assist those who are impacted by this in helping them guide them through making those informed decisions about their health benefits. How so? Kind of take us through this.
Sure. So we have an open season webpage where you can go and access all of our resources at once. Those are webinars where we guide you through the decision-making process and include a live Q&A. We also have for our members a Federal Benefits Institute where you can call in or email in and get specific answers to your questions. What we have seen from OPM's data is that only 5% of people change plans each year. And what we've seen from our survey data of our members is that people find the process very confusing and very complex, and they would rather navigate things like creating a will or a divorce than choosing a healthcare plan. And we try to bridge that gap, make it simpler, make it not as overwhelming, and provide the resources that you can walk through and the people to assist you as well in that decision, so you can take advantage of those savings, those thousands of dollars of potential savings, and making sure you have the healthcare coverage that you need for a modest annual dues of $48 a year.
So the goal is to make it a little easier, less daunting, and maybe not as time consuming. But that being said, you definitely want to take your time and consider all of your options. Is there a deadline where these decisions have to be made?
Yeah, open season started November 11th, okay. And it runs through the end of the day, December 9th. So you have some time. So certainly encourage you to walk through the process, get to a point where you're confident. Even if you want to start out, this has been too much for you, but if you can use our resources to figure out what type of plan do you want? You still want a comprehensive plan, okay?
Yeah.
How do you go about comparing those plans and allow us to help walk you through that process? Take baby steps towards saving yourself thousands of dollars. Maybe it's only $1,000 or $2,000 this year, and you can save the next $1,000 or $2,000 next year. Certainly encourage you to take advantage of what you've earned through your service.
Absolutely. And as you mentioned, December 9th, you've got a little bit of time, but really now is the time to start thinking about this because, things are going to get a little bit busy as the holiday season approaches. And so that deadline date will sneak up on you if you're not careful. Where do folks go and get more information here?
Sure. So people can go to our open season webpage. That's at narfe.org/open-season. That's narfe.org.
All right.
So go there, check out NARF, check out what we have to offer for the 157,000 or so federal active and retired federal employees and postal employees in Ohio. Hopefully we can help you out.
It's good information for active and retired federal employees to know. Again, John Hatton is Staff Vice President of Policy and Programs at the National Active and Retired Federal Employees Association. John, thanks very much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
This is Good Mornings with Chris Oakes on 1330 WFIN, WFIN.com, and 95.5 FM.
We interrupt this program to bring you a broken news alert.
Sometimes you don't have to go very far to find the broken news. Dateline Detroit, where cops got quite a surprise when they went to execute a search warrant in the Downriver area. Local news station WXYZ reporting that while searching a home in the Downriver area of Detroit, the Michigan State Police Metro Narcotics Enforcement Team found not only drugs and guns, including methamphetamine, heroin, cocaine, pills, and 9 firearms, they also found a live alligator. Didn't count on that, did ya? Live alligator. Yikes. I've heard of guard dogs, drug kingpins having guard dogs and all of that. Alligator is a little bit extreme. While the gator is now at a local animal shelter, imagine making that call to the Detroit animal shelter. Can you take in an alligator? Can you? The suspect has a new home, just as the gator does, but not at the animal shelter. The suspect is behind bars as well. Also, in the broken news, again, fairly close to home, the animal rights group PETA has put up a new billboard in Columbus right outside a McDonald's restaurant urging people to go vegan. The sign overlooks the parking lot of a Columbus McDonald's. It appears to be a response to the recent introduction of Mickey D's new chicken Big Mac sandwich, where they have a photo of a chicken with the phrase, "It's me, not meat." It's me, not meat. Supposedly, that's what the chicken is saying. It's me, not meat. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Here's the thing, and I get the sentiment. I understand where PETA is coming from, but if you want to get people to give up eating animals, picture of a chicken on a billboard is not necessarily going to do it. You know what I mean? They're just not attractive animals. They don't, to me anyway, they're not animals that you really, if you want to, save the animals, you put, bunnies or deer. I get it. They're beautiful animals with their floppy ears and their cute, big brown eyes and all of that. But, chickens, no. I got no qualms with eating a chicken. Just not attractive birds. Let's see. Elsewhere in the broken news, throwing yourself a goodbye party is one thing, but doing it on the company dime is another, especially when you're not actually leaving. Not the smartest thing to do, as one 20-something employee recently found out. The boss recently shared the story online. This has gone viral. Boss talks about the assistant that she hired named Lily. While the boss was out of town, Lily used the company credit card to throw herself a going away party, telling coworkers she was leaving to pursue new horizons. Lily, turns out, spent $2,000 on the party, which included a custom cake, decorations, and even a bartender. The issue, not only did Lily not have authorization to spend the money, she wasn't even leaving. The boss says when I confronted her, she said she was testing how many people appreciated her, and she wanted to see if anyone would convince her to stay. She called it a social experiment. Let's just say now that Lily has reason for a goodbye party. Yeah, she's going away now. She's leaving the company now. Let's see. A couple of other items in the broken news. Now, this is unusual. This is very unusual. From the International File, a 77-year-old slice of the wedding cake from Queen Elizabeth II's wedding has sold for $2,800. A slice of wedding cake from Queen Elizabeth's nuptials 77 years ago. The slice was packaged in a box bearing the then princess's insignia and including a letter from the bride. This particular piece of cake was given to Marion Polson, who is a housekeeper at Holyrood House in Scotland at the time. Queen Elizabeth's wedding to Prince Philip took place on November 20th, 1947. The full original cake weighed 500 pounds. A slice of 77-year-old cake recently sold for $2,800. Somebody with too much money burning a hole in their pocket. Or maybe they were just going to give it as a gift. Gee, thanks. Let's see here. Four Nigerian citizens have been sentenced to at least 2 years in federal prison each after running romance scams in West Tennessee. The Department of Justice says the men used fake identities on social media, gaming platforms, and dating websites to meet with their victims between 2017 and 2021. After gaining their trust, the scammers would make up an emergency and convince the victim to send them money. Prosecutors say a West Tennessee resident was tricked out of more than $400,000 in one case. Three of the men were operating out of the Atlanta area. The other was living in Canada. So Nigerian. It's not that far off from those Nigerian prince scams. Yeah. Turns out that they're really real. There are Nigerian men there. They're running romance scams. Wow. And finally, in the broken news this morning, this is the time of the year and trot out the all of the old Christmas stories, the familiar favorite Christmas stories, like How the Grinch Stole Christmas from the town of Whoville, right? A plastic surgeon in Turkey, Dr. Ferda Erol, has gone viral for creating a nose job patterned after the residents of Whoville in the Dr. Seuss stories. The video shows a reduced nose with an extremely upturned tip, which gives people with this nose job the appearance of one of the Whoville characters from the Dr. Seuss books. Why? Why would anyone do that? The concerning footage has social media commenters wondering if this is actually real or just a joke. While the ideal nasolabial angle in women is between 95 and 105 degrees, the angle portrayed in these videos is more than 123 degrees, the report says. Why would you do that? Why? Apparently people are doing this, and it just boggles my mind. Plastic surgery to look like a Whoville character from Dr. Seuss. I don't know. That's just, okay. There you go. That is today's Broken News Report. Definitely the odd and unusual side of the headlines. We now return you to your regularly scheduled programming.
Ever thought about joining the Findlay Rotary Club?
I'm Scott Holman, president of Resolute Wealth Advisor and current president of Findlay Rotary Club. As Rotarians, we collectively rely on the strengths of each member to impact our club's vision of uniting local leaders to influence positive change.
Our ability to influence positive change locally and around the world grows through membership. To learn more about how you can join the Findlay Rotary Club and have impact in our community, go to findlayrotary.org and click on Join.
This message provided by WFIN.
And now your daily download, the numbers behind the news and the statistics that shape our lives. We all love our dogs. A house just isn't a home without a dog. We love our dogs, to be sure, but different dog owners love their pets in different ways. New research study of 800 dog owners, research out of Hungary, has found that all dog owners fit into one of three categories. They boiled it down to one of three categories, and the type of relationship that a person has with their dog can actually influence the type of dog they choose to own. So these are the three. See which one maybe you fall into. 19.4% of dog owners are companions. Or the companion is what they did. These are individuals who keep dogs mainly for companionship. They don't have any working role necessarily. But interestingly, these are dog owners that keep their pets at something of an emotional distance. And they would typically own dogs like Cocker Spaniels or Labrador Retrievers. So that's 19.4%. 31.1% of dog owners fall into the friendly colleague category, where they see their dogs as a colleague, as kind of a one-to-one relationship of equals. Their dog has a role to play in the family dynamic, if you will, where they have a working role, like maybe security guard. They typically own like German Shepherds, maybe Border Collies. They are the friendly colleague. And these individuals have a very strong one-to-one emotional tie with their dogs. That's 31.1%. And then 49.5%, nearly half of all dog owners see themselves as dog parents. These are dog owners who have a very close human-like bond with their pet. They don't see their pet as an animal with a practical function, like security guard or something like that. They see their pets as kind of like their children. And a lot of the times, these dog owners will have like dachshunds or Pekingese or Pomeranians. Boxers will fall into this category as well. 49.5% of all parents. As we mentioned, around 800 owners were surveyed on their relationship with their pet, including what they like about them and the role they play in their life. The results revealed that almost all owners, regardless of the category, really enjoy the physical contact with their dog. 97.6% of dog owners say that is the number one thing they like about being a dog owner, the physical contact. 93.7% cite the unconditional love that their dog provides them as the top reasons for owning a pet. And 88.4% say they like the sight and the beauty of their dog. So those are almost universal attractions that we all have to our pets. Some of the other benefits, though, obviously less unanimous. Only about a quarter of owners, 24.3%, say they did not benefit from the social interactions generated by their dog. They did not benefit. Really? One in four say that. 36.3% of dog owners, on the other hand, like those social interactions a lot. So that runs kind of across the board. The researchers say that they hope their findings will inspire further research into the complex relationship between humans and their dogs. Our results, they say, show that dogs can fill multiple social and non-social roles simultaneously in their owners' lives, highlighting the complexity of the dog-human relationship. Carolyn Kopis is here to tell us what's happening at 50 North as the holiday season approaches and all of that. Carolyn, good to see you.
Good to see you,
thanks very much for dropping by. You know, I am always amazed when I look at the calendar on the on the 50 North website, just how many things are going on a daily basis. I mean, it is like a laundry list of activities. And now you're actually even doing more things because you're doing more things into the evening.
We are. So we annually do a survey. Insight does that for us, Dan Gunder. And we take that feedback that our members give to us. And one of the things they said is they like to see some more evening and weekend events. So we really started ramping up that initiative in April and started implementing a lot of it the last 3 months, but we've got a lot going on in November and December. So we listened.
Yeah. What are the, is it just, is it more of the same stuff that you do during the day, just offering additional iterations of that in the evening? You're doing new things?
We're actually doing some new things. Okay. We're doing a birthday dinner, so everybody's birthday that's in November, we have a night that we celebrate.
That's cool. Yeah.
We also are doing something called Dine In and Learn, and it's food and exercise. Annie Hayes does it. We just had one on brain health, mood, and depression. In December, we will have one on depression. So it talks a lot about what foods are good for those ailments or those conditions. And then she talks a little bit about exercise, too. We also are doing more craft and arts classes. That was something that people wanted. We've got a karaoke night that's going on. People really enjoy that. We have some tech classes at night. So we just had one, or we'll have one on safe social media. We also have entertainment that's coming in. We've got FFE and VIP. We have our own 50 North Choir. We have the Finley String Factor coming from Finley High School. So it's really a lot of new things.
Mm-hmm.
The classes that we're doing in fitness are a lot of, some of them are the same, but we're just offering them at night.
Mm-hmm.
We also have this new system that's called WellBeats that basically there's like 50 or 60 classes and you pick what class you want to do.
Okay.
And people can come together and just do that in the evening. And they're really great classes. They project up on the screen, okay. on a screen. And they're interactive. They're great classes. So I would say the majority of the things that we're offering in the evening and on weekends are new.
Mm-hmm.
But we also have some of the good things that we used to do.
Well, I was going to say, and add that to the plethora of activities and classes and, you know, opportunities that exist throughout the day. We've said it before, we'll say it again, there's something for everybody.
Yeah, and it's free to be a member of 50 mm-hmm. North. Now, there are some things that cost if you want to do it, but if you just want to come in and socialize and have coffee and get on a computer and read a book or play some cards or go to a lecture, many mm-hmm. of those things don't cost anything.
Yeah.
So we try to have things that are free for our folks, but also our wellness and our cafe and some of our arts and craft and classes do cost, but that's more because of the materials.
Yeah. So if folks are interested in learning more about all of these things, again, the website has like the entire calendar and you can filter it by what you are interested in. And if for anyone who has not been to 50 North, it really is just a tremendous facility. Well, best in the state.
Yes, we were just named one of the best senior center in Ohio. There's some great ones out there. We were honored to be recognized for that. But it's really simple. I mean, I think the most terrifying thing for people is it's like going, I equate it to when I was in kindergarten or first grade or second grade, and it's that first day of class that you're going, and you don't know anybody, and there's trepidation and some
and
anxiety.
You don't know
where
anything is.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
So just walk through the doors. I mean, mm-hmm. if you can just walk through the door, bring a friend.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of kids are bringing their parents in, and we'll have lunch and do a tour, and we try to connect people. But it is something... That's the toughest thing, going through the door the first time.
But the one thing when you first walk through the door, it's easy to see why 50 North has been so honored because, I mean, you immediately know that this is a facility that, you know, got a lot of great things going on.
Yeah, we really do. I mean, it's a welcoming environment. Mm-hmm. We have a culture to do that. We're also working on... Part of the feedback last year was some of our new folks didn't feel as welcomed by those who had been there for a long time. But again, that's you can equate that back to schools
right.
and the
yeah.
groups that come together when you feel comfortable. Mm-hmm. They were there once. And so we're working on the culture with our members. We just put together a new code of conduct, which really we talk about our values of benevolence, respect, integrity, compassion, mm-hmm. kindness. It's really how to treat one another. And I always say it's the golden rule, but it's not. People will treat you
yeah.
like you treat others.
Yeah. And there's no better way to, you know, become a part of that and integrate yourself into that group than by participating in some of these events. And now, again, with so many more of them into the evening, there are more opportunities than ever to do that. So,
right, and there's different things that you can do. Coming in the cafe, it's not, we'll see, if there's an empty seat, we'll seat you with someone that you may not know. It's not like a restaurant where mm-hmm. it's just your group that goes.
Yeah,
we have tours that can make you feel comfortable, but then we have, you know, like a movie. That's one of those things you can go in there by yourself, and you can talk to some people beforehand, but then you can just enjoy the movie and then maybe get to know people afterwards.
Yeah. And so it's free to sign up or to become a member. How do folks do that?
All you do is just come in, and we have a member service desk area. You come in and say, hey, I'd like a tour. And then we'll have someone that will guide you around in a tour and talk to you about. All you have to do is fill out a piece of paper that takes maybe 3 minutes to fill out. Mm-hmm. It's really your contact information.
Yeah.
And then you get a key tag and that's it.
There you go. Simple as that. Mm-hmm. And we encourage folks to check out. We've got the link at our webpage, goodmornings.net, for all of that information. One other change, we mentioned, classes further into the evening hours and so on, so even more opportunities to participate in the things that you might be interested in. One of the ways that folks learn about what's going on at 50 North, the Navigator, a bit of a change there.
Yeah. So what we're doing, we did a survey talking to people how they received our information. Mm-hmm. And we were finding that, in this new world of digital, mm-hmm. more people are receiving the courier, not physically.
Yeah.
And so we were finding that less and less people were getting the actual paper. I mean, they're reading it online. And so we've had it and we'll continue to have it at different locations like Great Scott and Brinkman's and Dietz's and different locations. You know, we're working with the doctor's offices, places that people go. Mm-hmm. So we're hoping they can pick it up, but certainly they can come to our facility and pick up the Navigator, or there's a QR code, and you can just get it online.
I was going to say, it's available online as well, and you can get it that way. And that's out, every other month?
So we're actually, that's a change. We're going to do it quarterly.
Okay.
So we'll have four publications instead of six. Again, it helps with our planning to have it further out and in people's hands. And believe it or not, when the Navigator comes out, it is a ton of work the month before.
Right.
But we're just trying to plan for the whole year now, and we'll put it out four times a year.
So,
and it'll be thicker.
A lot of great information about what's happening at 50 North in the Navigator. Again, worth checking out. And we've got a link on our webpage for more info. Carolyn Kopas, director at Findlay North with us. Findlay North at 50 North with us this morning. Carolyn, thanks very much for dropping by. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Chris.
And that will finish up our podcast for today. I want to thank all of our guests for joining us on the program this morning. Once again, a reminder, you can get more information about all of the topics that we talk about each and every day on the show at our webpage, and that is goodmornings.net. Coming up tomorrow on the program, the one lesson from last week's election that political analysts aren't talking about and that politicians still haven't learned. So until tomorrow morning, that is Good Mornings for this morning. Now that you've had a good morning, go on out and make it a good day. We'll catch you back here tomorrow.